Okay, we're about ready to start. Someone has requested 275 in keeping with our Bible class lesson this morning about Elisha. So, Elijah. So, hymn number 275, all the verses. Hearty welcome to one and all who have come to worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today. We have a special guest here, Yanni. Thank you for coming to join us today. You're so welcome here. Peter and Rachel, so good to see you. And we thank the Lord that He's blessed you on your trips. And we just rejoice to have you back with us. And each one here, and then for those on Zoom, we want to welcome you as well. the psalmist said this, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." The path of life that is before us, if it is in Christ Jesus, is filled with joy. Juliet, Damien, welcome. Good to see you guys. Good to see you. Hey, there's my buddy, Daniel. Welcome. Welcome, welcome. So let's find joy in that path of life, shall we? Any greetings to share?
We got a call from Johnny and Mary Lou yesterday, and they want to send their greetings.
Thank you. Johnny and Mary Lou Zoig, thank you.
And greetings from Hungary.
Hungary.
And also, greetings from Ohio.
And from Ohio. Thank you so much. And again, welcome home, dear Peter.
Greetings from Monica and Richard.
Mm-hmm. So great that they could be here, and look, Braxton, and you don't look any worse for the wear, or babysitting all week. I don't think I could say the same. keep Brother Mike Smith in prayer, please. He's just really struggling with that pain, and he reached out to me this morning and said he'll be going to the emergency department on Tuesday. So please, please keep him in prayer. Mike B. is also home ill today, and keep him in prayer. And those who are traveling amongst us, please pray for traveling mercies. Brother Harry has an announcement. Would you like the microphone?
I've got this mic. I'd like you to pray for a family in our town, the Cohan family. They have five children. Their third child was a daughter, Sharon Cohan. And she unexpectedly passed away a few days ago. They don't know what happened. But she wrote this yesterday. Sharon wanted to be an organ donor. We prayed for a miracle, hoping God would not take her from us. But the Lord had other plans. The miracle he had was to use her viable organs to save the lives of others. Well, yesterday we said goodbye to her, and she was able to donate two lungs, two kidneys, her liver, two corneas, and her heart. And they were all matched with recipients.
Wow.
Our precious daughter lives on and is saving the lives of others. Maybe someday we might meet one or several of them, God willing. So it was a beautiful family, and it's just devastating to see what happened in their lives. So please pray for the Cohan family.
That is incredible that there were so many matches right away, immediately. I've never heard that to that extent before. That's an act of God and quite a miracle. So yeah, please keep that dear family in prayer. Today we'll have lunch for all, and then a brief song service after lunch. Anything else to announce? Anyone? So we want to prepare our hearts for worship now, and as we do, and please keep Brother Harry in prayer for the service that God will use him in a mighty way this morning. As we prepare for a service, I just think it's good to just remember why we're here in the first place. You know, we're here really to focus on God, to thank Him, to praise Him, to worship Him. And we have that opportunity as a family to do that. And that's in God's Word. It is meant for us to worship this way corporately and as a family, communally like this. Yes, we worship at home on our own, but yes, God calls us to worship as we are. And speaking of that, now is the time to prepare our hearts, remove those distractions, those things that might be worrying us, concerns that are upon our heart, any kind of disappointments or grief that we might be bearing, all those things. For this moment, let's all try to remove those distractions from our heart and then truly focus on God and upon His Word and give Him praise. Brother George, you said you had a song.
Yes, I think it would be appropriate. It's number 175,
mm-hmm.
verses 1, 2, and 6.
1, 2, and 6. That's hymn number from our black book there, the Zion's Harp 175, verses 1, 2, and 6.
Good morning. It's nice to see so many people here in church this morning. Let's bow to pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for being the loving Father that sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to give his life for us, that we might have life, eternal life that starts here right now, by receiving him within our hearts, allowing the Holy Spirit to live within us and to guide us and to instruct us and to serve you. We pray for everyone here today that you would grant them a blessing from the words that are spoken today. Not my words, Father, but your words. That as we would study your word, that we would see how we should live, what memories and memorials we should have. We thank you for this time together, and we pray that you would guide the words, guide the thoughts, and let us focus on you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the Son of God, for dying on the cross, and rising again and interceding for us at this present time. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and pray this in your holy name. Amen. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. After the Civil War, the women felt devastated by all that happened and they started putting out flowers on the graves of the deceased men that had died during the Civil War. I even read that in the South, they would go out and put flowers on the graves of the Confederate soldiers, but then some of the women looked around and said, right next to them was the cemetery for the Union soldiers, and there were no flowers there. And they felt really wrong about that, so they put flowers there also. So that happened for many, many years. It started in 1868, okay? And they had picked May to do this event because by then flowers were growing everywhere. So that was a logical thing. And then, the same thing happened after all the different wars that we've been through. And in 1971, Memorial Day became a national holiday and set aside as the last Monday of May. Okay? And when our children were little, they would walk in the Memorial Day parade either as Daisy Scouts or as softball or baseball players. Okay? Memorial Day is meant to honor the service and sacrifice of the men and women that have given their lives for our country. And as many yards signs say, all gave some gave all. And I am thankful for the sacrifices that they all have made that I could live in freedom. But I admit, as an apostolic Christian that believes in non-resistance, I have mixed feelings about celebrating Memorial Day. The U.S. National Park Service lists 31 official national memorials. There's more memorials, but those are the official ones. I'm not going to list them all, but some of them are Flight 93 in Pennsylvania, Lincoln Memorial in District of Columbia, Mount Rushmore in South Dakota, Pearl Harbor in Hawaii, Thomas Jefferson Memorial in D.C., Washington Memorial, D.C. These memorials and all the others commemorate important people or events in U.S. history. Another one is Robert E. Lee's home in D.C., which ended up becoming Arlington Cemetery. And many years ago, and I don't remember how this happened, we were, I think, coming home from North Carolina visiting the kids, and we said, it's a nice day, let's stop. So we were able to find a parking place by Arlington Cemetery, walked up then I think to Kennedy's grave, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldiers, and then we decided, let's go across the Potomac. That's a long walk across the Potomac to the Lincoln Memorial, and then we walked along the mall there and saw other memorials. But I have good memories of that, happening. I can't remember how many years ago, but it's nice to see that people had gone out of their way to make these memorials as a reminder of what this country has gone through. The Bible also records the making of memorials, and sometimes they're called standing stones. In Genesis 28, Jacob leaves Isaac and Rebekah because he's basically running away from Esau, who he has basically connived and stolen things from him. On the way to Laban, his mother's brother, he stopped for the night and he selected some stones for a pillow. Now, I don't know about you, but I would never use a stone for a pillow, but that's an aside. While he slept that night, he dreamed a dream of a ladder leading up into heaven. And the Lord, Yahweh, spoke to Jacob that night and promised him that he would have many descendants, that he would be with Jacob, and that he would bring Jacob back to this land. And in Genesis 28, verses 16 to 22, it says, "And Jacob waked out of his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not.' And he was afraid and said, 'How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.' And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow and saying, 'If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, I will and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I may come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house for all that thou shalt give me, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee.'" He was so moved by that dream and God speak to him that he took those stones and he piled them up in a stack. And if you do an internet search, there's other places where, you know, people have done this standing stone as a memorial to an event that happened. In Exodus 24, the Lord has spoken to Moses. Moses has received the law, and it says that Moses built 12 pillars of stones to represent the 12 tribes of Israel as a result of giving the law. And the people responded to Moses by saying, "All the words which the Lord hath said, we will do." And that really is our response, my response, as I read the scriptures. All which the Lord has said, I will do. In Joshua 4, the children of Israel have crossed the Jordan on dry ground. It's just a miracle. Go back and read it. And Joshua commands 12 men to pick 12 stones out of the middle of that river and then bring them over to the west side of the Jordan. And then he says he built a memorial of this event. And so Joshua chapter 4, verses 20 to 24. "And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, 'When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, which is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever.'" These stones that Joshua had erected was again a visual reminder of what the Lord had done, not just now in crossing this Jordan on dry ground, but even 40 years before crossing the Red Sea on dry ground. And I think verse 24 is such a critical verse, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. It's not just for the children of Israel. It's for the earth, everyone to know that the Lord is mighty. He has done great things in their lives, and they should reflect that to those around them. But memorials are not limited to standing stones, okay? In Numbers 21, the people complain to Moses and God for the difficult journey through the wilderness. They were just very upset by everything. And it says that God sent poisonous snakes, poisonous serpents, and many people died because of their unbelief. So God instructed Moses to make a brass serpent and put it on a pole. Anyone who had been bitten, after they had looked at that serpent on the bronze serpent on the pole, was healed. God had provided a way of saving them from those serpents. But then in 2 Kings 18, we can read when Hezekiah became king, that he cleaned up all the idolatry that was in Israel, including breaking that bronze serpent on that pole. That bronze serpent, because it says that they had been burning incense to that bronze serpent. 700 years before Hezekiah, that's when Moses was instructed to build that serpent as a way of saving the people. And the people had just twisted it all around, and now we're worshiping this object. It was not meant to be an object to be worshipped, and that's why Hezekiah was instructed by God to break it. And this is a warning to us not to worship anything or any person other than the God who is a Trinity as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We should never worship things. Then going back to Joshua, after the land of Canaan was subdued, the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh, who had gone with them across the Jordan to help conquer the land of Canaan, were going back to their land that was given to them on the east side of the Jordan. And when they got there, they built a replica of the altar that the children of Israel had built on the west side of the Jordan. The remaining tribes on the west side were, what is going on here? You're building this altar, are you going to worship God there? No way! And they were going to go and fight them and stop them from doing that. But it was only after they spoke to them, instead of assuming what was happening, after they spoke to them, that they realized that this was a replica altar. It was just a way for those tribes on the east side of the Jordan to remind themselves, in a way, to remind the people on the west side that we are one. We are not separate. Yeah, the Jordan River is between us, but we are one. We worship the same God. We're not going to sacrifice on this altar. It is just a memorial to remind all of us that we are at one with you. And if you read the text, it even says they call this altar the witness. It was a witness between the two sides that they were really one. And to me, it's a biblical reminder not to rush to judgment when there is a misunderstanding with your brother. Now, some present-day illustrations. As I step back and think about memorial and then memorabilia are things that are associated with people or memorial events. Before I retired in 2019, my office at work was full of my company's memorabilia. Mugs, water bottles, stuffed animals, 45 years of different things with different projects' names on them. Also, I had files and files of newsletters, articles, and publications. I had kept it for 45 years. Some people at my office called me the ADP historian. The weeks before my retirement, I brought home box after box after box of all these things. I even talked Cheryl into buying a curio cabinet to store some of the things I had brought home. Anyone want to guess how many things are in that curio cabinet? Cheryl knows. Zero. I didn't put a one in that curio cabinet. After I stopped working, those things meant less and less to me every day. They were not the memorials I thought they might be before I retired. They were just things from a former life. After a few years, I started going through those boxes and getting rid of stuff that was useless or duplicate, and then I took back a whole bunch of boxes back to the office. Said, here, you guys can have them. Enjoy. My connection to my company had waned because it was just a job. The people were the most important things that ever happened in there. And this is more of an aside than anything else. There were two people that I loved. One was Bob, who was the guy who hired me. On the 50th anniversary, almost the 50th anniversary of my hiring, is when he passed away at 94. So that was a sad day for me. And the other was Trish, a woman I hired. 20 years later, I ended up working for her, but we just had this great relationship, and we knew the systems we were working on, and it was the people that made the difference. But she died probably close to 10 years ago. She left the company and then had cancer and she died. And that was devastating for me also. So people are more important than things. But let's talk about things. On Christmas in 1963, I was 12 years old, and I was given this Bible by the Union City Apostolic Christian Church. And you can see it's a little worn out. Six years later, in 1969, before leaving for college, I was packing this Bible, but in reality, it's a young teenager's Bible. It's not a college student's Bible. So I think my mom talked my dad into giving me his Thompson Chain Reference Bible. And you can see it's a little worn because I've used it very, very many, many times. And it's interesting. Sometimes you hear a verse or you want to look up a verse, and in my mind's eye, I think, okay, it's on the right side of this Bible, or it's on the left side of this Bible. Somehow, because you use it so many times, it just sticks in your mind. But then, in college, Cheryl gave me this New American Standard New Testament. And you can see it's been shrink-wrapped because I used it so much. And when I got it, I think I read through the whole thing in a week. It was just a refreshing new translation. I really enjoyed that. And then a few years later, when I became a trial minister, Cheryl's aunt and uncle gave me this New King James Open Bible. They wrote in it and everything. I didn't use it as much, but I appreciate the thought that went into giving it to me. And then a few years later, I think my sister Johanna I think it was her, maybe it was someone else, gave me this NIV study Bible. And again, you can see it's been shrink-wrapped because it's falling apart and stuff. And I distinctly remember using this Bible and my Thompson Bible extensively for many, many years. These Bibles were all used by the Lord for my spiritual growth as a Christian. They are more than memorabilia. They are my standing stones in print. And I pray that our interest in studying the Bible, regardless of the translation, stays strong, and that we would want to read it and understand it and then apply to our lives every day of our lives. When Cheryl and I got married, our honeymoon was driving from Columbus, Ohio, from the church there, down through Skyline Drive and up the coast back home. I only had a week vacation. That's all we had time for. So we decided to have a picnic lunch one day on Skyline Drive. We bought some bread, lunch meat, and a knife. This knife. It'll be 51 years old in 15 days. We use it every day as our letter opener. It's a daily reminder, a memorial of all of our commitment and love for each other. I admit, every day I use it, I don't always think of that, but I think about it now. That is what it reminds me of. I think that's why we kept it and didn't throw it away. It's a way to remember the glorious time that God has put us together and give us this life. There are some people where birthdays, anniversaries, or deaths are just like any other day. They could care less about them. For others, they are memorialized and they are celebrated. Cheryl has a friend who does not celebrate Mother's Day because that's the day that her mother died. So even though she has kids of her own, she just does not like Mother's Day. But for us in the local Reinhardt family, May and June have many memorable days. In May, we have 6 birthdays: Heidi, Katie, Luke, my dad, Lily, and Phil Sr., and Johanna and Gufferman's anniversary. In June, we have 3 birthdays: Cheryl, Elsa, and my grandmother, Mom's mom, and 3 anniversaries: Cheryl and mine, Cheryl's parents, and our daughter Suzanne and her husband Brian. My dad passed away on our 35th anniversary. It was a sad day, but also a joyful one, because we knew that he was no more in pain and now in the presence of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we have our own family memorial times, memorial meals. On Cheryl's mom's birthday, we try to go out and have a hamburger because that's the meal that she enjoyed. On Cheryl's dad's birthday, we try to go out for prime rib because that's the meal that he enjoyed. And on my dad's birthday, Cheryl tries to make chicken oporto, because that is a meal that he enjoyed. And in the Bible, it mentions 2 meals that are memorable meals. The Passover meal was instituted by Moses in the Old Testament. It was the final meal that the Israelites ate in Egypt before they left for the Promised Land. And God instructed them to celebrate this meal yearly as a memorial, as a reminder of how God took care of them, saved them from that tenth plague, from that death angel, and then set them out on that journey to the promised land. In Exodus 12, verse 14 says, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." And then verses 26 and 27, "And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped." And in the New Testament, on the night before Jesus was crucified, he had the Passover meal with his disciples. And then he instituted a new meal, the Lord's Supper or communion, he instituted on that night. And Jesus instructed his disciples and us to partake of the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11, starting in 23, says, "For I have received the Lord that which I also received, delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come again." Jesus encouraged his disciples, and he encourages us to faithfully partake of the Lord's Supper. I encourage all of you to find family memorials in your lives. I don't know what it might be, but just find something that would be a reminder for you as to how the Lord has been with you over the years, how he has cared for you, how he loves you. And also come up with family memorials, a meal, a place to go, maybe even a standing stone somewhere as a memorial. We were traveling, I think on, what day was that? Maybe it was Easter. We were going on Forest Avenue, and there's a Jewish cemetery there. And there was two people in beach chairs before a tombstone. And there was one man leaning over the tombstone like this. I don't know who they were. Was it, going there on that day because the person had recently died? I didn't look that way, but maybe it was just a reminder. I wonder if the two people sitting there were a son or a daughter, and the spouse, and the man leaning over that tombstone was the husband. Just sad as he was reminded of the passing of whoever it was. So I don't know. But tombstones are also memorials, are also standing stones, in a sense, as a way to say, this is not someone who's forgotten. We want to remember this person because of who they were, because of what they meant in our lives. And when my brother-in-law, Tom, passed away, it was shocking to all of us. And it took a while for Lily to decide what type of tombstone to put there. And the cemetery where Tom is buried is just a few blocks from their house, so that's convenient for her. And it also allows three-dimensional tombstones. Where my dad is buried, it's all flat. Okay, and she decided to put a bench there. It's a bench that she can go and sit there and pray and thank the Lord for the life that she had with Tom and thank the Lord that he is with his Lord Jesus also. And I think it's a very nice, I wish I had a picture of it, I could show it to you, but it's a very nice setting. And again, it's so convenient that she can walk there whenever she feels the Spirit leading her to go there. May we, again, find ways to have our own individual and our own family memorials. And I think it's important. Memorial Day is great for the country, but we need personal memorials. We need spiritual memorials to sustain us. The things that I brought home for work ended up just being things. They are not important anymore. But knowing who we know, the Lord Jesus Christ, and having the Holy Spirit live within us is the best thing that we can ever have. And may we find something that helps us to remind us of who he is and the sustaining faith that he has given us all of our lives. Let's close by singing from the Apostolic Christian Hymnal, the Black Hymn Book, number 26, Jesus in the Night of His Betrayal, verses 1 to 4. And I have to admit, I'm not sure I ever sang this song before, so it might be a little tough going. Number 26, verses 1 to 4. Thank you.
Thank the Lord and you, Brother Harry, for that beautiful, biblical overview of memorials. I found it very interesting to put all of that together in a thread that led to the memorial that we just sung of the Final Supper with the disciples, and a foretaste then of what the great supper will be of the bride that we read about in Revelation. But we all do have memorials, I know. We're just created that way. One of the greatest blessings, I believe, that we have in this world is memory. It really is. And what a tragedy when we lose it. God ordained it so, this is really fascinating, but He ordained it so that those in my generation can probably affirm, as can I, that when you get of a certain age, it's kind of the short-term memory that goes, but it's the long-term memory that is kind of embellished or enhanced. And I thank the Lord for that, because every Saturday when my brother calls, we kind of reach back into that memory and we just have a hoot about all the good things we used to do together when we were growing up and all of that. And so it's those wonderful long-term memories that we kind of hang on to, even though sometimes it's the short-term memory that gives us a problem. But you know, the memorial of all in terms of in this earth and this earthly existence for us, the memorial of real importance is the memorial that we can be as individuals. Yeah, we can have things. Some, maybe as Brother Harry pointed out, will pass in their importance over time. I experienced the same thing with my retirement, so I know exactly what you're talking about. But those things can pass in importance, but what should never pass in importance is that we can be in a memorial as well. So bear with me, but I just want to remind you of a story, an account in the Bible of, again, just before Jesus' crucifixion, just before that Last Supper that we just sang about and that Harry spoke about as well. Jesus was in Bethany. And you'll recognize the town of Bethany, maybe 10 miles or so, I think, from Jerusalem, but very close. And he had his best friends on earth were there. It was Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. He had just raised Lazarus from the dead. And he came back to Bethany, and he had a supper there. It says in the home of Simon the leper. And during that feast, Mary broke out an alabaster box of ointment, and he anointed the body of Christ. You might remember that story. And, this created a great thunderstorm. And we can read, I think it was in John, where in this very same account, where Judas Iscariot, the traitor, says, we could have sold that for some vast amount of money and could have used that for some good, on a mission here. But, what waste. And Jesus put it all into perspective. And he said this, "Why trouble you, the woman? For she has wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but you have not me always. But me you have not always. For in that she has poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also what this woman hath done will be told for a memorial of her." And we can attest, 2,000 years later, we celebrate that memorial, don't we? But the point here is not that so much as it is that Mary herself was a memorial in that act that act of love that she committed there to the Savior. That act is now being celebrated and remembered 2,000 years later. Now, I'm not trying to say that what we will do will be an act that we remember 2,000 years from now, but let our lives be a memorial now. that encounter we had with the clerk at the store, rather than getting upset with her because she was so inefficient and whatever, it was we had a very calming and a positive and a loving response to her, maybe, right? We hope and pray because that's the Christian way, right? Well, how can that be a memorial? She'll remember that. She'll remember that. And maybe when you go back into that store, she'll recognize you. And there's a bond that's been formed. Have you ever experienced that? That's just one example, how our lives can be a memorial. So we thank the Lord for Memorial Day. We thank the Lord that He's given us memories. And we thank the Lord most of all that He's shown us the way that we too can be a memorial in our very lives. Brother Peter, may I ask you to close us with prayer and ask everyone to rise and pray?
Lord, our precious Savior and our Heavenly Father, our God, we thank You so much that we could gather together. We thank You so much that You saved us and You promised us the beautiful heaven with You in eternity. We thank You so much for all the blessings that You shower us. We thank You, Lord, that You love us and You never stop. You never stop loving us. Help us, Lord, that we are, as we heard today, we are a blessing on this earth, in our life. We are a memory and memorial for others because of You, because we worship You and praise You. And help us, Lord, that we love just like You love unconditionally. Lord, we pray for all those persecuted Christians who right now are suffering and persecuted. And we pray for every suffering human being out there. Help us, Lord, that we spend our days and time following You, go out and work with You, and we know that You are certainly with us. We thank You so much again, Lord, that we can gather together. Please be with us for the rest of the day. Bless the meal that You prepared for us, and help us, Lord, that every second we get closer and closer to You, and all of us can see You, hopefully soon, in heaven. Amen.